Matthew Stewart joins us in the studio. Did you have anything on Aberiti that day, Matthew?
86?
Yeah, 86.
Yep. I was in year 12, so I didn't have much else to think about other than the races in October. I remember it. I remember Broadreach was the raging favourite.
Yeah. Twistem.
And there was a lot to the story, wasn't there, about Steve Watkins. And I think we spoke to Steve Watkins on Cracking the Codes a year or two ago, but I can't quite find the audio. But and then I remember he went to the Cox Plate. This is how things change, because these days you run fourth or fifth in the Guineas, Seamus Awards, so you think, bang, you're going to the Cox Plate. Aberiti won the Caulfield Guineas. I remember Bill Collins, when they were milling around behind the gates for the Cox Plate, and he was going through the runners, and it was the race of the century. You remember Bone Crusher, Waverley Star.
Yeah.
He said, oh, Aberiti, Caulfield Guineas. He goes, what is he doing here? That's what Bill Collins said. He said, what is he doing
here? Well, Gary just told us then the Bone Crusher basically just pushed him out of the way.
As he should have. Yeah. But funny enough, it was a terrific edition of the Caulfield Guineas that he won. Unlike this weekend, which is a really lean edition, I think, of the Caulfield Guineas. I mean, he'd probably be a genuine 25-1 chance.
You know what's interesting? When you look at the race of the century, Bone Crusher, Our Waverley Star, the last half mile that they ran at that Cox Plate, what time do you reckon they ran in?
They would have run it way, way, way outside record time. I know that much.
They did, like, so-called, and the horse like him, Dulcevoy, run like 47 in those days, 46 and a tick and whatever. I think they ran about 52.
You and I,
because they were out on their feet. They went that hard early, and then in the middle of the stage.
If you and I had somehow decided spontaneously to go for a nice casual stroll and start at the school at the same time as they ran past, we would have beaten them home, probably.
Yeah.
And look at us.
It was the most wonderful race, and you tend to think, oh, they're flying, but they were just absolutely cast.
They were dog-tired.
Matty, can I just ask you, so when you say that it's a lean edition of the Guineas this week, when you say that, are you referring to the fact that there's no previous Group 1 winners in the field? Is that what makes it lean? Because wouldn't it be easier to make that comment in hindsight, like when you look back on the Guineas?
True. Yeah, I mean, who's to say that Barclay Square doesn't come out and become a really, really good horse and one or two others? But it just doesn't look that way.
Because, you know, if I look back on the Australian Guineas where Alligator Blood and Catalyst were involved, there was probably a time where you thought, great Guineas. 18 months later, terrible Guineas because the horses never went on to do anything. And now it's back to being a good Guineas. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just think it feels like it's not a very strong race this year. And I think the same can be said of the Cups. The Cox Plate will stand up because of it's got an exciting group of familiar horses, and they're going to be playing it out in the Might and Power Stakes on Saturday. So
it is missing, I guess, a Jack and Owen and Half Cabin, isn't it? That would sexy it up a bit.
It just feels like a lean year for top class sort of horses.
Are you thinking more listed Group 3 type horses in it?
Yeah, I think so. I really think so. And it's funny you mention it, because in years like this, I tend to get really interested in what the bush can deliver. And I know you're an old bushy, and
I love it.
I love a good bush horse, bush trainer comes to town story. And these lovely stories. We had a chat to two trainers this morning on Michael's show. One was Clinton Taylor from Rocky, who's got this horse called this filly called
Great Story.
Chinny, what's her name again?
Oh, something of Boom, wasn't it?
Chinny Boom.
Chinny Boom, yeah.
Who's now on 4 from 4, accumulated margin of 20 lengths, smashed the Rocky track record, and now it's just the excitement and anticipation where I actually think that there's a slightly going through the motions feeling about the good horses in the big races at the moment, because we know their ceilings and that. But to hear this guy, Clinton Taylor, talk about Chinny Boone, and then to talk to Paul Prusker about Distrustful Award, who won a maiden so impressively at Mildura yesterday that he's now a $15 chance in Victoria Derby. So I never get put off too much by a weak year, which is what we've got, because there's still yarns everywhere, and I love the bush stories.
A bit like Murphy's B-Boy, when the bloke from the bush and Gundy brought him down for the Blue Diamond.
Exactly. And sold into a publican for way too much and regretted it ever since.
There was a weak Victoria Derby 2 years ago, Matty, but it probably produced one of the greatest stories of all time with Dennis Pagan.
Yeah.
So there's always a story.
No, I agree. So I never worry too much about whether it's a good year or a bad year, other than the fact that when it is a flat year, you've got to call it. Mm-hmm. I mean, horse racing is all about, to me, Cozzy, when something truly wonderful happens, if you say everything else is wonderful along the way, it loses its context.
I still just love the spectacle, Matty. I really love it.
Yep.
The fight, the whole lot, to
Same.
See that happen.
Well, we saw it Warrnambool over the May Carnival in the maiden hurdles when all the champions had retired the year. The most gripping finishes. So you don't need superstars to create gripping races.
Hey, Matty, stay with us. With Matt Nevitt, Sean Cosgrove, and our racing editor, Matty Stewart, on Big V Racing on this Wednesday afternoon.
Toads there on that first at Healesville 2 with All Clear. The winner, number 6, Hudson River, paid $190.104. 8, Magic Range, $2. 3, Yellow Monaro, $2.60. 4th, 1-2, Broke Girls. Quinella, $6.50. Exacta, $9.60. Trifecta, $44.30. And the 4, $87.40 on race 1 at Healesville.
What was the name of the bloke who landed the plane in the Hudson River? Or was it the East River?
I watched that movie the other day. The bloke, he brought it down. What a good effort. Then they accused him because
it was Tom Hanks who landed the plane.
Yeah, and he might have had a sip beforehand that he found the bottle opener.
Yeah.
Before he brought it down.
You'd have to be a little bit Schindler's List to try and land a plane in a river.
Good effort.
Yeah. Hey, Matty, you were at Caulfield yesterday. Team Neesham had a host of her stars galloping. And I know you're the number one ticket holder of the Mwoonga fan club after riding him off only a few weeks ago.
Funny how things can change.
I just love bringing that up. How did they work yesterday at Caulfield? Because it was this time last year, there was that whisper going around about Zaki heading into the Underwood, wasn't there?
Well, about that time last year.
Sorry, the stakes. Caulfield stakes.
The same gallops. He actually galloped really poorly and everyone sort of picked up on it, but the niche was pretty defensive at the time. He then came out and got rolled, you remember, in the Caulfield Stakes. Galloped a lot better this time. He had Mwoonga getting heeled along beside him without his blinkers. And so Zaki worked better, but the niche and Ollie both said, don't worry about Mwoonga, that's just him.
Well, I was at Sandown when Mwoonga almost got the chockies, and Hughie Bowman afterwards, he was so enthusiastic talking to the owner. It was incredible. And he said, another 3 strides, this would have been real interesting. And I said to him afterwards, good. He just said, mate, on target for Cox Plate.
A lot of people probably forget that he is a very good horse. He was so close to beating Incentivised last year in a Group 1 at Wait for Age. And he has won Wait for Age events at Group 1 level in the past. So he's a very good horse.
Well, the biggest story for me, and maybe I see it through a different lens because I'm more looking for the story than the winner half the time, but Cozzy, Danny Power sent me, and I mentioned this with Falgate earlier on, Danny Power sent me some really interesting information. There's about 9 or 10 trainers in the long history of the Cox Plate who have had 3 runners in the race. No one's had 4.
Jeez.
No one's had 5. Annabelle Neesham, and I know I'm repeating myself from earlier on, she might have 5 runners in a Cox Plate. 4 years ago, she was riding in the Mongol Derby.
Yeah.
And didn't have it. And Richo has texted me. This is fascinating. How's this?
Mm-hmm.
This is really fascinating. So that's why you're going to have to wait for
a I might just add that Hughie copped $3,500 at 9 meetings for excessive use of the whip on Mwoonga. I said to a former steward from years ago, I said, he copped that. What would you have given him? And he's looked at me and said, a pat on the back.
Exactly right. So here's an...
Hold on. Come back to us. Yep. We've just got to go to Healesville. So they're...